Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach. Wayne Masseur, are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Muslim coup update today. Happy Father's Day. I got this thing from a listener. It's titled, Why Men Are Never Depressed. I thought I'd share some of it with you. Men are just happier people. What do you expect from such simple creatures? Your last name stays put. The garage is all yours. Wedding plans take care of themselves almost magically. You know, wedding dress, $5,000. Tuxedo, $100. You never have to drive to another gas station restroom because this one is just too icky. You don't have to stop and think of which way to turn a nut on a bolt. Wrinkles add character. You are unable to see wrinkles in your clothes. One mood all the time. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. You know stuff about tanks. A 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase. You can open all your own jars. You get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness. If someone forgets to invite you, he or she can still be your friend. Your underwear is $8.95 for a 3-pack. 3 pairs of shoes is more than enough. You almost never have strap problems in public. The same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe decades. You only have to shave your face and neck. You can play with toys all your life. One wallet, one color for all seasons. You can wear shorts no matter how your legs look. You can do your nails with a pocket knife. Oh, and my favorite, you can do Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on December 24th in 25 minutes. No wonder men are happier. Happy Father's Day. Here's another from my email stack I thought you dads would appreciate as we celebrate Father's Day. Gunshot survivor. I understand that what you're about to hear actually happened. Linda Burnett, 23, a resident of San Diego, was visiting her in-laws a while there, went to a nearby supermarket to pick up some groceries. Several people noticed her sitting in her car with the windows rolled up and her eyes closed, it seemed to them, with both hands behind the back of her head. Well, one customer thought he might need to ask if she's okay. Well, he approached the car and noticed that her eyes were open and that she looked strange. He asked her if she was okay. She explained that she had been shot in the back of the head and that she had been holding her brains in for over an hour. Of course, that gentleman called the paramedics immediately. They had to break into the car because she would not let go of her brains in order to unlock the doors when they investigated her wound. They found that the dear lady, what she thought was her brains coming out of her head, was actually a large wad of dough stuck to the back of her head. And what she thought was a gunshot was the explosion of a Pillsbury biscuit canister that overheated and shot a wad of biscuit dough that hit her in the back of her head. And when she reached back to find out what hit her and she felt that dough, the poor lady thought her brains were coming out of the back of her head. Oh my goodness. And after some conversation with Linda Burnett, not brunette, by the way, it was discovered that she is blonde, a Democrat, and voted for Obama. We are sure, however, those latter items are only a coincidence. You know, actually, I don't appreciate blonde jokes. I really don't. I think they're crude, and everyone who knows me knows that I never tell blonde jokes. However, another listener who regularly contributes interesting information to my website email address sent me some of the funniest blonde jokes I think I've ever read. But no, I will resist the temptation. I don't do blonde jokes. But these are so good. You see, I should make them brunette jokes? No, you missed the point. It's not about blonde or brunette. I don't think it's appropriate to stereotype stupidity as either blonde, brunette, or anything like that. I ridicule liberals all the time. You say, well, yeah, it's true. I ridicule the ridiculous. I don't really mean ridiculing liberals per se, but I ridicule the ridiculous, and they so often provide fodder for that. So what you're saying is that I should take these blonde jokes and make them Obama voter jokes? Well, let's see. Folks, now I'm just experimenting here, so don't take this too seriously. Just for fun, let's see how this works. Two Obama bots. By the way, an Obama bot, that is somebody who voted for Obama brainlessly, you know, and continues to support him even though he is failing miserably. And he has admitted recently, by the way, that he's a Muslim. And by the way, a Muslim who will show the Muslim world how to handle Israel. Oh, yeah. With openly anti-American extremists surrounding him and being appointed by him to important positions of power and influence in our government. Got it? Understand what an Obama bot is now? Someone just programmed by liberal thinking to vote. Anyway, they're the ones who still run around town with Obama stickers on their cars after voting for a fellow who refuses to prove his constitutional qualifications for holding the office by doing something as simple as providing his birth certificate. Hey, and he has not provided his birth certificate, but anyway, and pushing an agenda that is obviously furthering what Walters declared was the liberal agenda to socialize our government. Well, anyway, now that you know what an Obama bot is, these two Obama bots were going to Disneyland. They were driving on the interstate when they saw a sign that said, Disneyland left. One started crying and the other began to cheer. Har har. Two Obama bots. Two Obama bots living in Oklahoma were sitting on a bench talking. One says to the other, which do you think is farther away, Florida or the moon? The other Obama bot turns and says, hello, can you see Florida? maybe it's not working for you. Well, you might find two Obama bots in Oklahoma, but that's about all. And if Obama keeps playing golf instead of getting serious about the golf, Florida might also be covered in oil sludge. Have you been following this oil leak thing? I received a timeline of the Gulf oil leak and Obama's response. Here's a sample. I can't read the whole thing. It's too long, but here's a sample. April 20th, an explosion occurs aboard a BP-operated rig in the Gulf of Mexico, nearly 50 miles off the Louisiana coast. In Washington, D.C., the president-elect returns from Los Angeles, where he was attending Democratic fundraisers. April 21st, representatives from several federal agencies collaborate as a national response team to the Gulf disaster. Obama, meanwhile, travels to New York City to discuss his financial regulatory bill. And when asked about the Gulf disaster, he assures everyone that his government is providing, quote, all assistance needed, end quote. April 23, Coast Guard ends its search for 11 missing workers, now presumed to be dead. Obama travels to North Carolina to begin a vacation. April 24, Coast Guard discovers oil is leaking from the sea floor due to the explosion. Obama goes and plays golf. April 25, Coast Guard estimates up to 1,000 barrels per day are leaking into the Gulf. Dozens of boats and hundreds of response workers work to contain the leak, while the president-elect Obama takes a break from his vacation to attend a memorial service for the West Virginia miners who died in the Upper Big Ranch explosion. April 26, 15,000 gallons of dispersants are used, and then 21,000 feet of boom is set up at the spill site, all to control the damage from the leak, and president-elect greets the New York Yankees at the White House. April 27, Coast Guard floundering for a way to handle this crisis, and the president-elect launches an investigation into the explosion. Well, this goes on for pages, and the glaring, garring truth it reveals is that Obama is helplessly incompetent as a leader in times of crisis, but very adept at exacerbating any crisis that comes along, if he can make some political use of it. Now, if you're following this mess, as I am, you know, I'm finding it increasingly difficult to avoid the conclusion that Obama and his administration want this leak to become a huge national crisis, you know, the kind he can use as an opportunity to do things you could not do before, huh? Rahm Emanuel? You heard about the latest effort to ensure this Gulf crisis becomes an absolute disaster? The Coast Guard has forced the oil skimmers, or the barges there, to shut down. That's right. They want to make sure these boats have, or these barges have life preservers on them and proper fire extinguishers. Excuse me? What is this nonsense? We've got boats out there sucking up this oil, cleaning up this mess. And the Coast Guard steps in and says, no, you have to stop until we count the number of life preservers on your boat and inspect your fire extinguishers. Hold on, it gets blonder than that. I mean, it gets more Obama bot than that. I have in my hands the energy report for Friday, June 18, 2010. Let me read a couple of paragraphs. This is going to make you crazy, or at least it'll force some of you Obama bots to admit either he is an utter incompetent in handling crises, or crazy, or something else is going on here. Quote, The Deepwater Horizon exploded back on April 20, yet the Obama administration still refuses to make an all-out effort to clean up and contain the spill. DeRoy Murdoch of Scripps News writes that 3 days after the explosion, quote, the Dutch offered to sail to the rescue on ships bedecked with oil-skimming booms. They also had a plan for erecting protective sand barricades, end quote. The embassy got a nice letter from the administration that said, essentially, thanks but no thanks. That's how the Dutch characterized it. Dutch Consul General Gert Visser told the Houston Chronicle's Lauren Steffi that basically they considered it a shrug off. And then after officially refusing to name them, the State Department on May 5 declared that 11 other countries and the UN also had offered skimmer boats and other assets and experts to prevent the oil from destroying dolphins, crabs, oysters, and this disaster's other defenseless victims, end quote. And then this, quote, alas, they were turned away by the State Department, end quote. All right. Essentially, the Obama administration said to those who offered to help us with this mess, thanks but no thanks. We've got it covered. Yeah, in oil. The Coast Guard is under Obama's control, ladies and gentlemen. It is a branch of the United States Armed Forces. Got that? Good. The Coast Guard is on the scene in the Gulf and charged with the task of facilitating the cleanup of the oil leak. Got that? Good. Now, several, actually, let's see, here it is. 16 barges were deployed to vacuum the oil from off the surface of the ocean in the Gulf, and they were getting it done. They successfully vacuumed, I don't know, thousands of gallons, I guess, of oil into these huge steel tanks. Quote, it was a homegrown idea that seemed to be effective at collecting the thick gunk, end quote. Great, it works. Well, what would you do? Of course, you would send in as many of these barges as possible, as you could get your hands on, and you would encourage the help from any of our friends who might like to get in on it. You would do everything possible, take advantage of every possible resource to focus on getting the oil cleaned up and to stop it from reaching the shores. That's where you would focus. But the Obama administration? Oh, no. Let's sue BP. And what happens with the, what does the Coast Guard do? The Coast Guard, listen, shuts down the operation of skimming that oil or vacuuming that oil off the surface of the water. Can you believe that? Oh, yeah. Why? Well, they say it's because they have to inspect the barges and make certain they have enough life preservers on board and working fire extinguishers. I kid you not. All right, now think. Send some Coast Guard ship out there and do an onboard inspection while they're continuing their work. I mean, you know, if you must. Come on, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Obama calls this a threat to national security on the level of 9/11. I'm serious. And we're seeing how he would handle a 9/11 level disaster, are we not? The Coast Guard sends out a cease and desist order, forcing the barges to stop the cleanup activity. And these guys have to sit idle for a day. Believe me, it would have been a lot longer, except Jindal, Republican, Louisiana, raised all sorts of cane and made all sorts of noise, embarrassing the ridiculous Obama administration's dragging their feet and finally compelled them to order the Coast Guard to lift the cease and desist order. Good night. Are these people idiots or what? Think about this. What kind of moron would interfere with a cleanup operation that was working? All right, so Obama's trying to cast this as a 9/11. It's his 9/11. You know, we're watching how he handles a 9/11, are we not? He fumbles it. He's out playing golf while the Gulf is getting buried in oil. Quote, the Coast Guard needed to confirm that there were fire extinguishers and life vests on board, end quote. What? How could it possibly take even 24 hours to get this cleared up? How did it happen in the first place? I cannot believe anyone in the chain of command, the Coast Guard, would have given this inane, asinine order unless he thought it was in keeping with the policies of the commander-in-chief. Why would they want to impede the cleanup of this mess? Why is he dragging his feet and focusing his attention everywhere except on getting this mess cleaned up? What's the deal here? It's obvious that Obama is not particularly concerned about cleaning up the mess in the Gulf. And everyone's beginning to see that. Even his own Obama bots, some of them are beginning to wake up. He's very interested in beating up on BP and doing what he can to convert it into Barack Petroleum, ha-ha. He's interested in talking tough against the CEOs of BP and talk about keeping the boot on their necks. What a dictator. And extorting $20 billion from them. You know, that one of his cohorts, one of his cronies, is going to have the power to distribute. Oh, my soul. And we've seen how that works with Acorn, huh? What is the deal here? All right. As I wrap up this segment, consider, does Obama want to ensure we continue dependent upon Arab oil? say Muslim oil. You know, we've all got our theories, you know, potty mouth mayor thinks all wars are about having money to buy oil. So pick your own theory. But think about this. We know he is a Muslim. We've known it all along. And now, more recently, quote, two major Middle East media outlets, Nile TV International and Israel Today magazine, are reporting that the president has admitted in recent months that he is Muslim, end quote. According to these news sources, in a one-on-one meeting this year with Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abul Ghait, he told Ghait that he was, quote, still a Muslim, the son of a Muslim father and the stepson of a Muslim stepfather, that his half-brothers in Kenya are Muslims, and that he was sympathetic towards the Muslim agenda, end quote. Of course, the MSM ignores this. They hide the truth. You know, mainstream media today is not about reporting the truth. It's all about hiding it. Really, they spend most of their time these days working to hide the truth from the American people. All right, so take that with everything else he's doing, and you get the picture. Talking about pictures, I've got one of Obama in a press conference where he's answering questions regarding the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And you will notice, if you look at this picture, how very Arab it looks. I'm serious. It looks totally Arab in its feel and the texture and the decorations. I spent a lot of time looking at this stuff in Arab news and Middle East news. And I'm telling you, the stage on which Obama is presenting this press conference looks like the kind of stage that you would see in an Arab press conference with some Arab king or prince or whatever. It's eerie. There's no American flag anywhere in this picture. I've seen hundreds of press conferences held by presidents, and never have I seen one where the American flag was not displayed prominently. Look at this picture. There he is, President-elect Obama, standing before a golden curtain that looks very much like what you'd see in Arabia news conferences with King Abdullah or Prince Ahmed or whatever. And I'm not kidding you. On each side is a gold column chandelier or floor lamp. It looks totally Arab. Oh, my God in heaven, help us. I have one article here from the New York Post by Ben Lieberman that warns us Obama's fix for the Gulf oil spill is a $7 a gallon gas gouge at the pumps here in America. Quote, that's a Harvard University study's estimate of the per gallon price of the president's global warming agenda, end quote. And hey, Obama has said he intends to use the Gulf crisis to advance his global warming cap and trade nonsense. The more you look at this, the more it makes sense that he would drag his feet on the cleanup side of this problem and focus on everything except cleanup. And even allow some things to take place to impede and to interfere with cleanup. Look, I've got to wrap up this segment, but there was this redhead who went to the doctor to get help with a problem. She said that every part of her body was in pain. She said that her body hurt wherever she touched it. The doctor asked her to demonstrate, so she touched her elbow and screamed in pain. She touched her knee and again screamed in pain and then touched her ankle and screamed even louder with pain. The doctor said, stop it, stop it. And then he looked at her and said, you're not a redhead, are you? Well, she admitted she was not, and she explained that she voted for Obama. The doctor said, I thought so. Lady, your finger's broken. I got to tell you, liberals, you know why you're hurting? Because your finger pointer in chief is broken. But I've noticed that it's beginning to backfire on him. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Keep the lights burning. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Something strange has happened in South Carolina. By the way, I'll be in South Carolina on October 2nd through the 7th. I'm scheduled to preach at Welcome Missionary Baptist Church for Pastor Gary Gwynn in Easley on Sunday morning, and I'll be with Cannon Mountain Baptist Church in Pickens that evening with Pastor Shim Durham. The rest of the week, I'll be attending the National Intercessors Conference at Tabernacle Baptist Church with Dr. Benny Beckham, hosted by Pastor Aiken. Anyway, put a note on your calendar and come meet me on October 2nd, Sunday morning, in Easley at Welcome Missionary Baptist Church, and Sunday evening in Pickens at Cannon Mountain Baptist Church. Alvin Green beat out Vic Rawl. Now, most of my listeners don't know who these people are, so let me explain. Vic Rawl is a former state representative in South Carolina, and a circuit court judge. He was the presumptive winner in his party's primary to the Democratic to be the Democratic hopeful in this upcoming November election for Senate. However, Alvin Green, a virtual unknown in politics, with no job, no house of his own, no campaign website, in fact, no campaign to speak of, he won the primary handily. Now, you gotta love Ann Coulter. She quipped that the only thing Green had going for him that Rawl did not was, quote, in the grand tradition of legendary Democrats, such as Ted Kennedy, Green has a felony arrest, end quote. And then she goes on to observe, rather incisively, I thought, that this betrays Green's unfortunate inexperience as a Democrat politician since, quote, Democrats usually wait until after they're elected to show pornography to college girls, end quote. I checked this out, by the way. Sure enough, Alvin Green has been charged with a felony for, quote, disseminating, procuring, or promoting obscenity because the defendant did intentionally show obscene photographs from a website to the victim, Camille McCoy, without her consent, end quote. Now, I've got a copy of the court filing if you want to see it. Well, the Democrats are all up in arms over this. They are saying it was a Republican dirty trick. Matthews, you know, tingle legs. Matthews suggested it was, quote, sort of a Watergate number, end quote. Watergate, really. Yeah, I remember Watergate. It was all about Nixon trying to persuade, how did Ann Coulter put this? A mildly retarded black man to run for the Senate. Yeah, that's what Watergate was about, right? Oh, tingle legs just can't figure out how a, well, how did Ann put it? Quote, how a young African-American man with strange origins, suspicious funding, shady associations, no experience, no qualifications, and no demonstrable work history, end quote, could come out of nowhere and win an election. hey, tingle legs, ever hear of a guy named Barack Hussein Obama? Anyway, they are convinced, or at least they are trying to convince us, that those rascally Republicans are the ones responsible for putting Alvin Green up against their favorite candidate and spoiling the race. Well, somebody put up the $10,000 filing, or was it the $10,400 filing fee? Because Green sure did not come up with all that green. But isn't it ultimately something that the voters decided at the ballot box? Hello? He won by 60% of the vote. Why are the Democrats so quick to assume Republicrats must have rigged the elections when something like this happens, you know? It must be because, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert! The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Always looking over your shoulder there, huh? The Democrats are suspicious of the Republicrats, thinking they rigged the primary because, well, that's what they do whenever they can. Ever hear about a guy named McMullen? No? But you know about Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy. There was this primary in Vermont, you know, where the Republican candidate was a guy named Jack McMullen, and it looked like he just might have a chance to unseat liberal Leahy. So, and by the way, this is known to be the case, or in other words, unlike the Alvin Green allegations, where liberals are throwing wild stories out there, what I'm going to tell you about that happened in Vermont is on record. The liberals fronted a Republican candidate in the primary who was a covert operative for the Democratic Party. I'm not kidding. They put up a guy that starred in a movie titled Man with a Plan, you know, about a cornball farmer who ran for Congress. Anyway, the Democrat chosen Republican primary candidate beat the serious Republican candidate, Jack McMullen. And immediately after this guy was confirmed as the Republican candidate, you know what he did? He announced his endorsement for the Democrat candidate, Patrick Leahy. Har, har, har. Oh, yeah. The Dems yucked it up. Now they're very suspicious that the Republicans have pulled a similar trick on them in South Carolina, and they're not smiling. All right, I got to wrap up another show. What have I got here in my pile? Oh, mercy, so much I didn't get to. Oh, boy. They want to build a mosque on Ground Zero in New York City. Well, that's just great. Maybe Obama can offer the dedication. From Arutz Shiva, that's IsraelNationalNews.com. Quote, U.S. President Barack Obama continues to reach out to Muslims by appointing them to key security posts amid charges he wrongly ignored internal Muslim terror. One recent appointee was harshly criticized for appearing on a British-based television station whose host is a member of a radical Muslim group, end quote. Now listen, this is back a little ways here. Shortly after the Fort Hood massacre, President Obama appointed a Muslim rights advocate to the Homeland Security Advisory Council. Can you believe that? Under no circumstances should we sit back and allow a Muslim mosque to be built on the site of the 9/11 terrorist attack. Now, I'm just coming off a vacation. Mrs. Scheidbach and I spent as much time with our son before he shipped off to Army Basic and AIT as we could. And then after he left, we spent a few days celebrating our 37th wedding anniversary, by the way, and comforting one another as we adjust to the vacancy left in our nest with a flying off of our little boy. Sorry, Zach. But anyway, we visited some theme parks, among them Knott's Berry Farm. We lived in Buena Park and Anaheim for many years, and we're certainly familiar with those parks. And I've always appreciated the patriotism that was usually on display at Knott's Berry Farm particularly. That family was an authentic God and country patriotic family. And you could always count on that theme being evident at the park, Independence Hall and all that. Well, I must say I was shocked when I walked into a few of the clothing stores and noticed these T-shirts depicting what looked like, Apache Indians, I guess. Maybe they were Cherokee. My grandmother on my mother's side was about half or three-fourths Cherokee, if I remember right. So I've got some Cherokee in the bloodline. Anyway, the Indians were depicted standing side by side, holding rifles. There they stood, chin high, countenance dour. And the caption over the top of the picture read, Homeland Security. And the caption below the picture read, Fighting Terrorism Since 1492. Does that date ring a bell? Well, I was shocked. I took one of the T-shirts to the counter, and the manager happened to be standing there, and that was convenient. And I informed her that besides the stupidity and absurdity of the idea of equating early Christian settlers with Muslim terrorists, I felt the current state of affairs was such that a shirt like this would be far too offensive for Knott's Berry Farm, of all places, to be displaying, and that she should put me on record as being personally offended by this T-shirt. Oh, by the way, I didn't question the right of Knott's Berry Farm to offer such a shirt for sale. I did not suggest it was a violation of my rights not to be offended. It's not about rights. I simply registered my offense. Later, I found another store in the same park there, Knott's Berry Farm, where this same shirt was displayed for sale, and I just couldn't help myself. A young fellow, a salesperson for the store, was standing by. I pointed to the shirt, and I read it. And then I looked at him and said, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Columbus wrapped his children in explosives and sent them into the teepees to blow up the children. Oh, yeah, right. I remember reading about that in the history of Columbus. And the kid was so dull, he just stood there smiling. Anyway, you want to bring up the stories of some of the atrocities committed against the Indians here? Well, come on, let's talk about it, friend. Let's do the tit-for-tat thing. We can do it forever and ever. You tell me about some atrocity committed by some cracker with a wicked and perverse soul, and I'll tell you about the cracker with a clear soul who brought such characters to justice or condemned it. Then I'll tell you about some Indian tribes that committed atrocities against men, women, and children, atrocities that would make you want to puke. And then you tell me about some Indian chief who restrained his braves from such evils. Don't you see that? There's evil on both sides. Neither you nor I can lay upon the entire race of any people responsibility for atrocities committed by some among them. We can get together on this, though. Such evils are to be denounced, and any perpetrating such evils are to be judged and punished to the fullest extent of law. And together we can determine that racism of any kind is deplorable. But come on, I only know of one group of people who advocate the use of terrorism today, and that's radical Islam. And I say no mosque on ground zero and no Sharia law imposed on American citizens. And we better wake up and pay attention because that guy in the Oval Office now has recently admitted that he is a Muslim and he is sympathetic with the Muslim agenda. And that agenda is to bring the entire world under Sharia law. Wake up and give me a call. I've lit the lights in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Call and let me know you see the lights are on. And you have been forewarned. I'm paying for the call. 888-770-8000. Please remember to dial the 1 before the prefix 888. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you say lights on if you agree with me. And you say lights off if you disagree with me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.